Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. You ain't heard nothing yet.
Houston, we have a problem.
They're here.
Stop, children. What's that sound? Everybody look what's going down.
What's going on, all you Brooklyn Buddhists? This is Woody Massey, producer of the Jimmy Della Valley Brooklyn Buddha Podcast. Today, we have an excellent show for you. On the podcast, we have Johnny Cardinale, comedian extraordinaire. This guy is hilarious, one of the better conversationalist episodes. It was very pleasant, had a lot of laughs. Also, Johnny, a musical comedian, first one we've had on the show. So we get that end of the spectrum. Just went through a fresh divorce. Some really funny, like, true stuff going on in this episode. Just, you know, people dealing with their stuff and moving right along. Jimmy's got dates coming up, folks. He's going to be doing Vegas soon. He's also doing some cruise dates. Go to JimmyDellaValley.com. And I hope you guys enjoy this episode. We'll talk to you next week and forget about it.
Brooklyn Buddha. So, as always, you know, like I said, like Conan, oh, this is a great program. I'm excited to have this guy on the Brooklyn Buddha podcast. I've known this guy a long time since I moved to LA in 2004. Always been a class act, gentleman, and always funny. He's also a guitar comic / comedian, actor, writer. It's weird because normally I never really liked the guitar comics, but he's just... I don't think he needs a guitar, but he's very powerful with it. Like who was that guy years ago that played the guitar? He was like the handsome kid. He was touring, doing theaters. He was doing real well.
Oh, Stephen Lynch.
Yeah, Stephen Lynch. Yeah, yeah. But anyways, he's probably ready to chime in. Hey, Stephen. So yeah. Anyway, so what do you say? What's up to my people?
Hello, hello.
And Tim?
Hello.
So we're going to be going on hiatus, but we've already knocked about 8 of them in the box, so we'll be all set. And plus, we're now going to be on, I think it's called Radio Vegas Rocks, which is the number one radio station in Las Vegas, and it plays at 1 p.m. The show actually right in front of us will be Joey Medina, there'll be Brian Scalaro, and then it will be my show, Jimmy Della Valley, the Brooklyn Buddha Podcast. So that will be weekly. People will be able to listen, download everything, or you can go to jimmydellavalley.podomatic.com. Anyways, without further ado, actor, writer, comedian, my friend, just great dude, hilarious comedian. Just saw him at the Laugh Factory in Vegas, crush, Johnny Cardinale.
Hey, how are you guys? Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, you sound sad, you all right?
I never know with microphones in front of me, and I'm not used to talking in front of a microphone during the morning, you know.
Yeah, so. That's the are you a late... Like go to sleep comic.
I'm kind of weird. If I don't have spots sometimes, because I was on the road for so many years that when I get back into LA, sometimes I'm happy to go to bed at 9 p.m. and wake up and be at the gym like at 5 a.m. I have that weird side of me where sometimes I'm a super early riser. So I was already at the gym this morning. It's 11:15 a.m. right now. I've already spent my 2 hours at the gym.
It's like the army. It's like the army.
Yeah, we do more than you. He's a comedian that does more than you at 6 a.m.
Right. It makes up for my incredible laziness the rest of the day.
So you, I see you at the Laugh Factory, and of course, I understand you told me the story, because I'm like, what are you doing opening? I mean, you're a headliner, you're a great comic, but I understand your situation. You just went through a divorce, right?
Going through one as we sit here, yeah.
Have you been divorced or married before?
No. We got married June 21st last year.
Yeah.
By mid-November, I caught her cheating. So it was a five-month marriage.
Cheating, like walked in?
No, I actually stumbled upon some texts that she was doing. She became a flight attendant.
Wow.
And we got married June 21st. She became a flight attendant. Went through her training, 5 weeks of training. Started her job November 1st. And then I've stumbled on these texts probably November 15th, something like that. So like 2 weeks on the job with another flight attendant.
So it was like her probationary fuck period.
Yeah.
That's what she was in. That's horrible.
Yeah. Smartphone strikes again.
That's pretty much it. It's a weird story. I don't mean to belabor it, but she used my computer because she only has an iPad. She doesn't have a computer. She backed up her phone on my computer. She's got her own profile on my computer.
Right.
So no big deal. And then one day I just go, hey, I had low memory on my computer. I go, hey, can I just sign on as you and delete your photos and contacts? Or it's all on your phone. Now she said, yeah, go ahead. So a couple days later, I just logged on as her and boom, I don't know how this all works.
So you weren't like fucking sneaky checking. Oh,
absolutely. iMessage pops.
iMessage goes right up, pops right up, and I'm like, what the hell is this? And I'm looking, and then I was just going, speaking of comedy, making money, I was working on a couple cruise ships. This is right around the holidays.
Right.
So I found out a couple days before I left, December 20th through January 3rd, I was on cruise ships. San Diego to Mexico and repeat the process. So I wasn't going to see her all through the holidays because she's flying. And literally, I could log on every day and see their conversation that day. I knew for like almost 2.5 weeks because I didn't want to do it over phone or email. I wanted to wait until I got back.
So how mad were you? Were punching walls?
Oh, you had to be furious. You were just festering.
And festering and then watching every day going, God, it's getting worse and worse. And one day she just, I kept going, trying to make excuses like, wait a second. Maybe they're just goof. And one day she said something that I go, that's it. I know it's over now. And I had to take the stage like 30 minutes later. Yeah. Do like 50 minutes of clean material, clean happy material.
Did you back up like take a screenshots?
Oh yeah, I have screenshots and I have the entire month conversation on a little external.
Can you use that in like the divorce so she can't get happy?
You know, she's being very let's just say cool about it because I told her, look, I'm not here to make your life miserable. I could have her fired if I wanted to. I really could because I have proof of her giving her password for the.
Right.
For the company she works for to another guy so he could log in as her and they could arrange schedules so they could work together.
Wow.
So, I mean, I can be a lot worse than I am. So she's being very cool. I think she feels dumb about it all. But
do you hate her?
I feel sorry for her more than hate her. I don't even know how to explain it.
She younger?
No, she's going to be, I think she just turned 38.
Wow.
Here's what I knew I was great, though. Her birthday was June 19th. And, you know, it wasn't like it was late. On June 20th when I go, oh, wow, it didn't even dawn on me that yesterday was her birthday. It's not like I purposely didn't contact her. I didn't even remember it was her birthday.
That's great.
So that's when I go, all right, I'm doing all right. We got married on our 4.5-year anniversary, so it's like we were together for a while.
So was she your best friend?
Yeah, she was my, you know, just we were split. I'm kind of a loner by nature. I was 10 years single prior to that, and I'm just a loner kind of guy. Mm-hmm. I have my friends, but I have spent a lot of time alone, so it was really weird for all my friends and family to see me living with somebody.
Right.
We lived together for 4.5 years, and being, you know, tied to the hip with somebody for so long, so it was kind of a shock, but I think if anybody's handled or equipped to be alone again, it's...
Well, the good thing is that I think that it happened right away, and that you have kind of full proof. You know, rather than like just rumors and
100%, no doubt. And my dad, when I told my dad, he goes, "Hey man," he goes, "You dodged a bullet. Better to find out right now."
Yeah. Oh my God, it's fucking horrible. So are you 100% Italian?
No, my mother was German Italian. My dad's straight off the boat Italian. Okay. So
no, the reason I'm saying it is because like you know I'm Italian. I'm
Sicilian,
Irish,
actually. Yeah.
But my wife is a Latina. So, you know, we had our ups and downs in the marriage, but she ain't going anywhere. Like, it's like this is through and through. My mom and dad were 54 years married before, my dad passed in 2009, but 54 years. Yeah. So that's like my goal to beat to 54 years.
Yeah.
Then I can get some pussy after 54 years. Like, that's the whole thing. But it's was your family, do you come from that? A divorce?
Well, my dad's been through 4 divorces.
Wow.
7 kids. A couple of divorces.
Cardinale curse.
Yeah, my mother. I was married for 5 months. My mother and dad divorced when I was young, 4. And I lived with my dad my whole life. My mother one time, my mother's a big partier. Mm-hmm. And my mother once remarried for 3 days. And they got it annulled 3 days later. Wow. Just a crazy, one of those crazy, let's get married 3 days later. There's not a lot of success in the marriage in the Cardinale family.
I grew up with a Brian Cardinal, spelled the same way.
With a basketball player?
Yeah.
Okay.
So how did, mine's Delavalle or Delavalle. So when did you go to like, hey, say the E?
Always known it as Cardinale.
Okay.
Some of my uncles have dropped the E for business purposes, just so they put on their business card, you know, like Lou Cardinal, and then they have a picture of a cardinal. Mm-hmm. This is back because I'm from Ohio. Cardinal's the state bird, so it was like it was a nice tie-in. But I love the Cardinale, even though it gets mispronounced all the time. And my real name is Johnny on my birth certificate, not John or Jonathan. And my mom named me that because she thought I sounded like a little gangster name.
It is 100% true. Is there a middle name?
Johnny, with my confirmation name, Johnny Louis Anthony Cardinale.
Johnny Louis Anthony.
I'm all set in case I become Pope. You know what I mean? Hey, Pope Johnny Louis Anthony Cardinale.
That's hilarious. So, I remember when I ran into you a few years ago, you're like, oh, I'm doing these cruises, and what, did you get burnt out on those?
No, I take them when they come. Cruises are, you know, it's cool, the money's all right. I like them. You know, I love being on this. I've gotten to go some pretty cool places. And
right.
You know, people always are worried about, oh, you got to work clean. I already work clean, so it doesn't matter to me.
How many hours can you do clean?
I could probably do about an hour and a half of G-rated if I needed to.
No, I noticed that some of the cruise acts that I worked with that, that, like you said, you're a bit of a loner. So you're okay by yourself on the cruise. You probably do stuff. A lot of guys and girls that I've worked with, they freak out. They're like, I don't know what to do. I'm on the crew. I don't want to do the destination. I don't want to, it bothers them.
It's right. Funny. I can see how it would if it was a regular thing. I did, 2 summers ago, I did 51 straight days at sea.
Wow.
My agent just called me. I was kind of low on money and didn't know sure what I was going to do. And my agent calls me up. She goes, are you available June 20th through August 10th? I go, that's kind of odd. Why? She goes, Holland America is looking for a comic to go up and do the Alaska run all summer. And so I did 2 shows a week, 45 minutes each show. By the way, for different audiences, the same show essentially.
Sure.
Everything else was downtime. And I was married at the time. My wife couldn't fly up there because she was so busy. I thought she'd come up and spend a week with me. And so I was by myself for those 51 days. And I wouldn't take an excursion. I was just how good of a husband I was. I would not go on one of those excursions without her. Because mm-hmm. I didn't want her to feel jealous. Like, hey, right. I went ziplining today and, you know, and Ketchikan or something. So I said, I'll wait till you can come with me. So I was that good. But, you know, it never got old to me. I hit the gym every single day. I don't mean to be Mr. I'm not Mr. Gym guy. I'm not like I just do it more for my mental than anything else.
Do you lift, bro?
Huh?
Do you lift, bro?
I do a little. I'm more like a push-ups, and I hit the treadmill. I'm a jogger.
Are you a dipper?
No. Are you trying to chain the weights on?
We're talking drugs at the gym here. No. But, yeah, you can be. I end up meeting the other acts. I go sit at the piano bar. The piano bar is the God's gift because you can go sit at the piano and nobody knows you're by yourself. You just look like, oh, my wife's in bed or something.
Did you ever
like
do the, because I just did the Oasis, and I won't mention his name, but there's an MC. It was a house MC. He's been there since the beginning, since 2009. 16 shows. It's a comedy club, for people who don't know, on the cruise. 16 shows a week. He's been there literally 11 months out of the year. Every year, he says he's like...
That'll drive you nuts.
Drives him nuts, and he's on contract till November. He's like, I want to kill myself.
Yeah, just jump overboard.
But it's the money's so well. But what happens is he's become that he doesn't like to be recognized. Everyone knows him because he does...
Who's this?
Know, the house MC at the Oasis.
Oh, yeah, that guy. But you only did Holland America?
I did a couple celebrity cruise ships. I've lucked out. There's
like
some,
you're that fucking clean. Like I can't even like.
I didn't know
think
that.
About that.
I didn't even know that when I got booked for Holland America. I just I just got booked and then I asked my. It's funny. I asked my agent. I go, hey, can I get on? Can you guys get me just like some Carnival or some other cruise lines? They go, you're probably too clean for Carnival. I go, look, I can curse. It's no big deal.
Yeah.
And it's because I just wanted to work. You know? But for whatever reason, I just think that they said that because they don't have a great contact with Carnival. Yeah. So that's their excuse not to give me work.
Right. Well, yeah, but Holland and Norwegian, they pay better. Don't they pay better?
I don't know what other cruise ships pay. I've gotten the same for both Celebrity and Holland. It's pretty basic, the beginning pay, I guess, for what they pay.
Are you going to go disappear into those cruises again this year? Or no,
I only get them if my agent calls and says, are you available? And I am, and it works out. I don't like to be gone for too long anymore. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to stay in town and do what you do.
Yeah.
I do a lot of voiceover auditions. I just finally got theatrical representation, so I just had a really nice, my first movie audition in a long time last week.
Right.
And it wasn't a huge part, but it was like to be there auditioning for a... was pretty cool, and I want to be in town for that. So, colleges, more than cruise ships, colleges have been my big thing for a long time. Probably about 9 years straight.
You know, we did them for years. I really don't like to do the colleges no more. I did them for so long. like the other day.
Sparing.
The other day I did a show in for Kirkland. You know Kirkland?
Yes.
Gina. GP? What's it called? KP?
KP Comedy.
Yeah,
you know,
KP Comedy.
She's great. You know, mm-hmm. She's all naggers. And she's like, hey, you know, so she sees me I'm do her show, like, at Flappers. Mm-hmm. She's like, hey, are you interested in doing college? I go, no. I go, no way. I go, I did them. I mean, I did hundreds and hundreds of college. I did NACAs. I did 10 different NACAs. I mean, I don't like them no more. Like Dwayne was doing, you know, Dwayne Perkins was doing them. And then I don't know if he still loves them.
I got an email just now, about an hour ago, from her that, oh, the you didn't get accepted to one of the showcases. And you know, you're like, $120 just to submit.
Oh, imagine you're submitting for six of them.
Yeah, yeah, that was just
and the, then you get one, you got to pay the fee to get
so
one.
So you didn't get accepted?
To one of them. Yeah, I did three.
So you don't know about the other three?
No, yeah. But yeah, it's like, it used to be, I remember back in the day, it was like $60-$65. And you're kind of like, if you don't get a couple, you're like, all right, it's a couple hundred bucks. Now they're $120
each. Well, it's expensive. Worst thing is, now I've had all different. I went on the speaker circuit too, and mm-hmm. I was doing a speaking thing, and that was great. But I got really disgusted by the speaker circuit because so many liars.
Oh, I was gonna say
like this one guy. I'm like, he had me in tears, you know. Like, and I'm friends with him. We're doing like the NACA or APCA or whatever.
Oh, like he's telling his story, like his sad story.
Yeah, so he's telling his story, and okay. I come up and I go, I would have never thought you like sucked dick in San Francisco on in the fucking
you heard
alley,
tears 'cause of that.
And you did heroin. I go, dude, this is like insane. I go, I would never. He's like, he goes, ah, dude. He goes, I didn't. He tells me, mm-hmm. He goes, I researched the whole thing and wrote a speech, and it's like one of the number one things I'm like. And I go, I'm sick to my stomach. I can't even look at you. And I, like, went in the other room, and I almost puked, like, in the bathroom.
That's real...
I was so fucking pissed, man.
That's
that
some real sociopath.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, not only that he got you, but he's telling these college kids or whatever. And they're, like, affecting their lives, and it's all horseshit. Yeah. Well,
it's probably a good basis. Don't suck dick in an alleyway.
Yeah.
The message was good. Yeah, yeah. Do as I say.
The funny thing is, my ex-wife was in that circuit.
How does I do?
And the agency, you know,
like, you're going to do it not in an alley. That's my message. Okay.
The showcase would have, all right, this is a guy missing the whole left side of his body. The next guy is, former Klansman, but now he's like, everyone had their this guy.
And now doing some straight stand-up. Hey, guys, how are you?
Yeah,
where's
yeah.
Where's everybody
was,
from?
It was like everyone had their disability, their, come to fruition kind of renewal, you know, but it's ridiculous.
For comics listening who don't know the college circuit, it is really a wacky, wacky circuit.
Yeah.
The NACAs that you're talking about, I've done about 10, 12 of those too. I didn't even submit for them this year because they're so expensive.
Yeah.
I told my agent, look, I said, I don't really want to book tons of colleges because it's great. The money's great. Mm. And I did it for a long time, but I realized, I go, I'm losing time in L.A. My agent.
Well, you saw, you know, Seinfeld, right? Seinfeld did his big post about it.
Well, I listened to
PC Comics.
How he wouldn't do colleges anymore because they're too PC.
Well, yeah, I mean, colleges have changed. Like, back in the day, I remember stories from when my dad, he'd tell me when he was in college, like, and then when I go to college, it's similar. Like, there are moments where, like, people are going crazy and there's partying and everything. But I think what more so college has become, it's become a place where you, like, it's a refuge for people in the sense of, like, this is the place where you get to be whoever you want. And then that's who you're going to be for the rest of your life. So everyone's just kind of super politically correct. You can't step on anybody's toes. It's because you offend one person.
Well, plus they don't have a lot of a life experience. So they're not looking back going, I don't know why I was taking all that so seriously.
Yeah.
You're catching them in the moment where they're taking everything super.
Just everyone thinks their opinion is important as hell.
Yeah, so so I played Caroline's the other day, I do this bit about a bear with a black bear and a brown bear, right? It's like, it's a cute, like, joke about black people, right? You know what I mean? And the joke kills. And there's a ton of college kids. And I talk to them after, like, oh my God, that bit is so funny, blah, blah, blah. I go, you know, it's funny. I know that I could never do this if this was at your college. Like, there's like 30 of them, and I'm talking, it wouldn't fly there. They go, but in a comedy club, it's great. And I'm like, it's a clean joke. It's like, there's no reason it shouldn't be hilarious. So I just started realizing, like, did you ever get to that point? Because I've been a comic since 91. I've traveled the fucking world and, you know, headline comedy, the best comedy clubs to the worst comedy clubs to the one-nighters. I never really did a triple. That was never.
I've never done one either.
I did one gig. They tagged on just one show, just one day, to another thing. I was headlining a club and a corporate. And it's like you're out there and you're doing it and you're thinking, I wonder, like, do you ever get that feeling of like you're doing something? Like, do you ever headline and you go, man, I wonder if, like, not that you think me, but, like, one of my good friends is Tommy Savage, right?
Sure, I love him.
So, when I'm on the road, and I know that I have to break into the audience or something because it's that type of an audience, and I think to myself, I wonder if Tommy would do good here, as opposed to doing his Tommy Llama. You ever think that?
Sure, of course I do.
And yeah. I'm on stage, I'm going, I wonder, you know, like the rest is really good, you know, at off the cuff or something. Like, what was the thing with, like, DiResta? I was scared. I was supposed to go on Stern years ago, and I was scared. And now I'm not scared. But that back then, I was really scared to go on, so I turned it down. I didn't do it. And DiResta, they really ripped him apart and said, DiResta. Yeah, you've got the lowest-rated sitcom. They really ripped into him, and DiResta kind of just took it, and he's like, all right, can I talk? And bam, and he just murdered him. Okay. He murdered Stern, and Stern really respected him.
Okay, yeah.
So what I'm saying is,
he's
like,
got that East Coast thing.
Do you ever get, like, so you do. So you're on stage when you're headlining, and you're like, huh. Like every once in a while, it's not like you tap yourself in your shoulder, but you're kind of like, huh, well, I can headline here. I can roll with the punches. Like, that's when I see you at the Laugh Factory in Vegas, I'm like, oh, look at this. He could do any crowd. You know what I mean? You're so universal. That's what I love about stand-up. I don't like the fucking pinhole fucking...
Laugh Factory is like the most diverse probably of all the clubs.
Yeah, but this is Vegas.
Yeah, no, just period, like across the states. Yeah.
It's funny, just to backtrack though, it's a funny moment. I had a similar Stern-ish kind of... It was the Whack Pack.
Right.
They were out here somewhere in Long Beach and they were... They were having one of their stand-up comedy shows, which is the Whack Pack of Stern. Stern wasn't going to be there.
Right.
And it was, I forget the five guys.
Sully.
And no, I'm talking like...
High Pitch Eric.
High Pitch wasn't there. Beetlejuice was there.
Yeah, the worst.
The worst, right? And so the five of them sat there, and like 10 of us comics had to go up there and do our stuff. Because they were whoever did best was going to open for them that night.
Right.
Open for the Whack Pack show and the Stern show, right? So I get up there and I'm trying to do material, and they're like, "You fucking suck!" Yeah. Tell us another one. Ass white. They're just, and I'm trying to do my material, you know. And I get done, and all the same with all 10 comics. And then one girl goes up there. I forget, or she was really dirty anyhow. And they start giving it to her, and she starts just going, "Fuck you! Shut the fuck up, you little short weasel!" Whatever. Just
right.
And she ended up getting it.
Right.
And I go, "Ah." That's what they were seeing. Not about me doing my stupid material.
They wanted
to see my attitude, just not giving a shit about them. You know what I mean? It was a good learning experience for me.
My ex-wife was a comic. She used to do that. They would have her do roasts. And it's like when they would have me open for it. And they would just fuck, oh, you don't have tits, whatever. So she would go on and rip them apart. And they loved it. They liked, because they couldn't really talk back because it's a woman. Like, they couldn't cross. Even though they tried in the beginning.
But it's delicate.
It's very delicate where she can get away with shit that I couldn't get away with.
Amen.
You know, I could, you know, talk about their small dick for 2 seconds, but she can go on and on about how much a loser and they can't get a girl.
Brutal.
And yeah,
and it's just funny.
Yeah, and they love it. Yeah, it was.
Mm-hmm. You know, I remember, so are you still at the store?
You know, it's funny. I'm actually making a push to get back in the store. I was on the road for so long. I just, when I'm in town, I just didn't want to go hang and do. And I've been hanging there lately, and the vibe there is just great, I guess.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because I haven't been there. I guess I'll go back and, you know, start doing spots. But man, like, I never felt that. And I mean, for so many years in the business to have felt what it was like breaking into the store and to have, like a late night and have like one night, it was like David Taylor, I think it was Ari, it was everybody and I forgot who else. I mean, and they all just sat there in the back and they tried to heckle me during my set. And I go, all right, guys, look.
That's the store.
You know what? We can do this. And Tommy's stupid ass was sitting there and I was like, bam, bam. And I ripped apart every person. Boom, 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 boom.
Yeah.
And they all came like, holy shit. You know, because the reason was I was doing it, and I refused to mention the name. So I was doing J&J, the piece of shit Italian thing.
Okay, yeah.
Right? Right? So I'm doing that. So then I'm doing regular spots as well. Yeah. So we're regulars. And then that was what the whole issue was, like them trying to heckle me. It was like they're like the whack pack. Because right then it was very negative back then.
Oh, it was. There's still people that can't stand the store.
You know, like, you remember Georgia Jean? She was a good friend of mine.
Was she Australian? Yeah, uh-huh, I've seen her.
She had an issue there, like with guys, like almost like
she's not the only one.
Like, yeah, but like almost like pushed into the dark type of thing.
Oh, jeez.
Like almost like a Bill Cosby thing.
Okay, back in the day. Now, there's some evil stuff that's going on in that store. I know that for sure.
Oh yeah, yeah. I remember like being like waiting for my. Do you ever like sit there, like waiting maybe on like a Sunday or Monday because this is the only day that you'll see them. And, like, sitting in the main room, like, sleeping and wake up, and Robert Apavaya is walking by. Robert Apavaya is, like, this guy who was supposed to be Jay Leno or, like, whatever it was. It's some bullshit. But anyways, Mitzi has given him spots. He does Sundays or Mondays. He does the last spot every, like, on Sunday or Monday. So, and he looks like a ghost. He's, like, homeless, and his eyes are crazy, and he wears this, like, old suit jacket. And I'm, like, fucking sleep, and I wake up, and he's, like, right in front of me. Oh, my God. Like, I thought that was, like, because I'm really scared of, like, the hauntedness. Do you believe that that's there?
You know, it's funny. I'm...
Some weird energy in there.
I'm not a believer in that kind of stuff at all. But I was talking to this guy years ago. Mike Becker, his name was. He was Mitzi's assistant for years. And he was a very logical, level-headed guy. And he goes, let me tell you something. When you're here by yourself, he goes, this place is haunted. And I go, you're saying that? He goes, I'm saying that. And
yeah.
I go, well, if you're saying that... He goes, dude, sometimes those lights flicker a different way, and, you know, and I'm like, okay, ever since he said that, if I happen to be in the main room by myself, I just kind of look around and go, all right, let me out of here.
Yeah. Oh, dude, yeah. Well, like, there's the stairs by the belly room, right?
Right.
And that's scary. Like,
you creepy go, building, man.
Yeah, it's like it goes into the bar, whatever it is, like, yeah. Whatever that is. And Doc was sleeping, you know, Doc, the black dude?
Mm-hmm.
What the hell is this? Doc, the black guy, I forgot what his name is. He's got that voice like this. Anyways, he works there. He's a door guy, and he's, fuck, man. He tells me stories. But the famous, was it Blake? Remember the guy, Blake? Blake Clark?
Blake Clark, yeah.
Is that the guy, like, with Sandler? Hey, Blake.
Yeah,
like that,
Blake right? Clark, yeah.
He had told me a story of, they were downstairs, you know, like, the downstairs, like, into the basement.
And yeah,
they
were
doing something with something down there. And he said literally, like, there was, like, literally, like, he saw, like, ghosts coming through, like, ah! Like, and he fucking ran up the stairs, and he said it was, like, he was never, he goes, I never, ever went down those stairs again.
Yeah, I was going to say, I used to spend a lot of time in the store hanging out, and one time only did I go down those stairs, and I was helping somebody get something down there, and I'm like, this is the creepiest place I've ever been in my life.
I'm telling you, dude.
The underworld, man. I'm telling you.
It's really. It's
what was it? Used to be a different.
It used to be Ciro's.
Ciro's, yeah.
All the mob.
That's where like Dino and that's.
They
where,
had whacked Ciro's all those
is the
guys.
first place that Sammy Davis Jr. performed after he lost his eye.
And that's Ciro's. Oh wow. And that's when they all went nuts for Sammy mm-hmm. Davis.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember watching all the stories, and what was the joke they said about when something happened? What was it? Something. Did something happen to the Comedy Store a while ago? Was there a fire or whatever? Or no, a guy
they
jumped off.
Closed.
That was it.
Oh, yeah, during the writer's strike.
I think Steve Bluestein or something like that there.
So the guy jumped off the building.
The Hyatt.
Yeah, and they door. Go, and they go, and he still couldn't hit the stage. So that was
it. Yeah, because he jumped up. He wanted to land on the Comedy Store, and he missed. That's terrible.
Timing is off.
Well, see, the reason being is because he wanted to be a comedian. Mitzi told him, you're never going to be a comedian. So he wanted to, he killed himself by jumping off the Hyatt next door and trying to land on the Comedy Store, and he didn't even make it.
Oh,
so when did you start?
Jeez, man. I started sort of half-assed, I guess, in the mid to late 90s. I kind of goofed around a little bit, and then I was working day. I always worked a day job. I never worked a waiting tables job. I never worked bartending job. I was always 9 to 5, like at a bank. So I always had good income, decent
so money,
income.
Benefits. And
yeah,
then you did stand-up.
So I did stand-up, but I wasn't super hungry about it.
Right.
And then I was a legal assistant at Disney, and it was in 2005. And I had, like I said, I'd had a middling successive career until then. And I go, man, if I don't get out of this day job world and throw caution to the wind, I'm never going to get anything.
Right.
I hated this job, but I was making really good money. So I went in, gave my 2 weeks' notice. I had no money in the bank. I had no prospects. I didn't have no skills. I wasn't a waiter. And then just through, do you know Ro Delagrazzi?
Yeah, of course.
She got me a job at her restaurant like a few months later, just through the grace of God. And
Stanley's
right down the street here, yeah. And
yeah, I brought her to open for me in a theater a couple of years ago.
Did you? Yeah.
Yeah, but I've known her since she was with Lisa. We've known her since, I mean.
Okay, forever. Right. So I just knew her through stand-up, and I go, hey, Ro, are you hiring? Johnny, come on in, meet Annie. So I went in and met Annie, and she liked me.
Bartending or waiting or whatever.
I just got a job as a waiter, and I was, you know, the crappy shifts, because I didn't really have any experience. And I remember the funny thing. She liked me because I was funny, because we had to study the menu and then fill out a quiz. And one of the questions was, what kind of dressing is on the grilled chicken salad? And I put grilled chicken salad dressing. She thought it was so funny. So she liked me. She goes, and I go, I'll learn. I promise I'll learn. So anyhow, whatever.
You know, that's what I used to hate. Like,
but I'm gonna finish waitering thing. But literally in that almost a year to the day that I left Disney through working temp jobs, that job was a waiting table, I got my college agent, Joey Edmonds. And I started on the college circuit slowly, but literally within like a year and a half, I was it. I left all day jobs, and I have never looked back. Right. Colleges have been my big thing for the last 10 years.
Well, it's interesting because like I've had comics ask me, they say, look, I have this day job. What do I do? And I always said, cut back on your expenses the year, you know, prepare a year ahead. So this way, because too many guys I know that, you know, did pretty well. They're spending. They're
They got the car payments.
And they're spending high amounts to kind of keep that lifestyle, and then they can't. Once they quit it, you know, they're doing the road.
I did that years ago too. I had a nice car, I had a nice apartment, and I was talking to Johnny Sanchez at the Comedy Store. He goes, "How much you pay?"
Oh yeah, Johnny's supposed to do my podcast. We've been like going back and forth.
He goes, "How much money do you spend a month?" And I go, "Well, I get this car." He goes, "Dude, he's got too many expenses." And I asked him like, "Well, what do you do? I get this car. It's all paid for." And I'm like, "Oh my god." I just saw this weight lifted off my back if I could get out from under all these expenses. So I did that. Yep. So I never really had super expensive tastes or stuff. So when I quit that job,
it didn't take
a lot for me to make my living, but I had to scramble. But scrambling is good. When you get too comfortable, I wasn't hungry as a stand-up. I was doing all right, you know what I mean? But that really got me hungry as a stand-up.
Yeah, because I see comics, what happens, they'll quit their job, they start doing the road, they hit that wall where they're not making anywhere near, and now the bills are starting to pile up, and then they go, oh, I got to go get a side job now, and they kind of lose momentum.
I kind of lucked out. I lucked out or just the way I was meant to be. I went straight into the college market, so the money's really good, and I didn't have a lot of expenses.
Yeah.
I was a single, solitary guy.
Perfect.
My car was paid off, and I had a very cheap rent. What more is there than that? You know?
So what advice do you have for my young comics that might be listening or whatever that you know, because like the way it is now, it's different. I mean, there was no bringers when you started. There were no bringers when I started.
Mm-hmm.
We just did like a comedy club, and they did an amateur night, and then there was a headliner. Like that's how it was back then. You know what I mean? So, what advice? We'll see these good like Stephen Briggs, right?
You know,
I think he's really funny. We were talking about it last night. You know, he's like, I'm going to feature here, and hopefully they'll headline me. And I'm like, well, you know, you have to get some, you know. I said, you know, you'll have to get some credits.
He's one of those guys who all he needs is some credits, and he can already headline.
Oh yeah,
he's already got the ads.
Really funny.
Yeah,
really
funny.
That's why I tell him. You know, me and Tim get together and we go to his house and we write, or you know, I mean, come here. So like these younger comics that want to quit, like that, you know, what I mean, quit their day job. You know, like fuck. You know, like here's the thing. I was never bitter. Like. I don't understand how you're 4 years in and you're so bitter. Like, what the fuck? Like,
I don't tell you
the
truth.
It drives me crazy. I was still having such a great time. You know what I mean?
I think bitterness is just within people. You know, I'm a lot longer than 4 years in. I'm not bitter. I know people that are way younger than me that are bitter. Tom Dreesen, you know Tom?
Sure.
He told me one time. Tom Dreesen, old school comedian, like
right.
open for
Frank Sinatra.
Yeah, old Paisan. He told me one time. He gave me the best advice ever. He goes, "Hey man, don't look at anybody else's career." He goes, "Look at yourself." 6 months ago. Compare yourself with yourself 6 months ago. You better comic than you were 6 months ago? If not, why not? Are you taping yourself? Are you writing?
Right.
And I go, that's it.
You know what? I wish I'd talked to him about that a long time ago. So I for a while I was never bitter. I was never I was always positive, like when people got stuff, shows, sitcoms, whatever, and I knew everybody. So but all of a sudden it didn't happen with stand up as it happened with acting with me. And I would sit and I go, well, why do I care if he's going out on an audition and I didn't get that audition and we're the same type? Like, why did I? So, like, you know, I wasn't mad, but I was like, what can I do to better myself? What can I do to my better? And then once I realized, fucking, hey, this is great that everybody gets it. And then I realized the other thing. If you keep trying to be a comic, keep working and working and working, you will succeed. I believe that there's no way that you
won't. What do they say? 80% of it is showing up.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't ever quit.
It completely is like...
As like you, I'm really... One of the reasons I want to stay in town, L.A., the road has been great. I've been in all 50 states. Like you, I've been to about 40 different countries. I've traveled. It's been awesome. I really want to make acting for sure, but I've got a nice in the voiceover world now, which is a very, very tough world to get in.
It's a tough net.
But the thing is, I'm not in it for the short term. I've already been really hitting it hard for almost 2 years. I've booked 3 things in 2 years, but that tells me I've booked. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And I know it takes a long time, and I'm never quitting it. I'm going to keep continuing until I'm in that world because I enjoy it. I go to classes regularly. I study. I go to workshops. I'm constantly.
You go to Arch? You go over? I'll hook you up at Arch if you're not there.
I haven't gone to Arch yet. I go to Voicecaster. I go to Calman.
That's a Voice Tracks.
Okay.
It's
yeah,
a
I know
great
Voice
time
Tracks.
To work out. Mm-hmm. No, he works out on Mondays, and you can work out on anything. You can like go work on a video game. He has tons of copy, or you can bring your own copy, and you do 3 or 4 reads, and then you get your USB.
Yeah, I'll definitely talk to you about that because I'm constantly. I've studied with Elaine Craig, Carol
yeah.
Campbell, Callinson,
yeah.
Voicecaster, and they all call me in. So, and I have an agent, uh-huh. and I have my demo. I mean, I like it, but man, it's a grueling world to try to break into.
Here's the thing: I did last year. I did it was supposed to be the new Scooby-Doo series regular. I go in, I do the pilot, they say it's fucking amazing, the producers are calling me, oh my god, this is gonna go, we're gonna, you know, we're gonna get a full season, blah, 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 blah. So I'm at this, my agent's the other day, 2 months ago, and we're at this party, and I go, hey, so what's up with that? And they go, oh, I don't know, I don't think it's gonna go now, blah, blah. I'm like, oh my god, like, what the fuck? So it's like, you know, it's the same as, like, you know, stand-up, it's like you might have, like, like, have you ever been, like, fired from stand-up? Like, you've been somewhere?
I've never been fired, but one time, my very second cruise ship, I was up there, and I was trying to do well, and I don't really know if they didn't know the cruise ship audience. It was an Asian cruise, but I'm talking people from Asia.
Right.
English second language, if they spoke it.
Right.
And I'm up there trying to get all, you know, I'm an energetic comic, trying
uh-huh.
to get some laughs, and even if they don't laugh, they're still, even if they understood, they're just not the out loud laughing type. It's
right.
their culture. So I was working way too hard, and the cruise director seemed really annoyed with me.
Uh-huh.
And he told me that he did stand up for 10 years. Now
yes.
he's a cruise director, so already I'm in a deficit. And then anyhow, I got back in town, and my agent called me and said he gave me a terrible review. And I've never worked with that cruise ship line again.
Right.
You know, because that, and it's just like, that was the, that's so, in other words, I've never been fired, because I'm really not that type of account. I'm not edgy. I don't push buttons. I generally handle myself well, but I've gotten that, and I've also gotten a few brutal college reviews because I said
yeah.
the wrong thing. And like I said, I'm not even really dirty, but boy, certain colleges,
yeah.
these kids are so offended by.
You know,
you
I
make a marijuana
with
reference
with the college. The
holy,
the was that what was that magazine?
Well, Campus
Activities. Campus Activities.
Whatever.
So I'm with this agent. They're fucking selling me everything. Is fucking amazing. This is many years ago. And they're like, ah, oh, Jimmy's the next best thing since sliced bread. So I go, and they fuck me. I'm supposed to showcase, and they're at the last minute, hey, you're going to MC. Have you ever MC'd an ACA?
I have, actually.
And did you like it?
There's a love and hate for it.
Yeah.
It's what
I think
make
you really need to know how to do it. I don't know how to really do it.
Yeah.
Like, you know, Ronnie Jordan, the big black, he's great. He
yeah.
always MCs these NACAs. He's just, there's hundreds of colleges.
If you really know what you're doing with an MC, first of all, I wouldn't want it sprung on me. But if you
sprung
if,
on
if you
me.
Know going in, you can make the
half
showcase,
an hour before
you can
I
make
go
the
on.
Showcase all about you.
Yeah.
They see you the most. So I've had 2 great NACA national showcases
right.
where I was the MC, and I made my whole year just like that.
What happened was, I'm doing it, and I have a great set. And it's like, oh, great. And I bring you on. And then they're like, oh, hey, someone lost their credit card. Could you announce their credit card? Blah, blah, blah. Then the next person I bring up, there's a car that's been towed. Someone has to, we have to almost.
So you're just like, the announcer.
Jesus Christ, for fucking five. I'm like, this sucks. So now my agent had sold me to all, there was the military guy. I don't know if you know black, it's a black guy named John. It was like, it was insane. I mean, this is a good 10, 12 years ago. I'll never forget it. It was actually the last, I never wanted to do one again.
Yeah, you have a bad knack experience. Yeah. You never want to go back.
So now, this guy had wanted to book me for every military base. I mean, great money. We were talking before. He comes to my thing, and now I'm like, and I come up to him after, and I go, hey, and I really learned a good lesson about the business. And I said, hey, John. And he goes, oh, hey, what's up? Hey, man, so, you know, I know you saw me and stuff. I go, well, that's not like, he's like, yeah, I don't think you're right for military. I go, and I got mad. I go, you're fucking out of your mind. I go, I've got reviews from militaries of standing ovations. I go, you're crazy. He goes, look, I can only go on what I just saw. And I go, you know what? You are completely right. I'm going to walk away because I'm so mad right now, but you are completely right. There's nothing I can do. I couldn't go, no, oh, well, I have right. a great tape.
Yeah.
No. You know what I mean? Like, that was such a lesson, such a humble pie I had to eat.
Yeah.
That happened to me. I was, I got sprung the MC, I think it might have been APCA or APCA, similar. Sure. And thing. All the agents that I talked to were there for their clients, and they go, oh, you're going to MC? I'm going to watch you. So I went on. Now, I don't know if you remember that Free Hugs. It was like a campaign, a guy on YouTube, when YouTube first came out, he was holding up a sign. So all the kids up front, the girls, and, you know, they have the Free Hug shirt and the sign, and they were doing it throughout the convention, and they're up front. So the girls have these big, you know, big tits, and they got it. So my opening joke is, hey, give you guys a round of applause. I see we have all the beautiful Free Hug girls. Wow, you know, I'd pay you to hug you. As you know, just a joke. And they booed me because they took offense to it. And my first 15, 20 minutes, I'm trying to dig myself out.
Now, and in a NACA or an APCA, that's it.
That's it.
You're not digging yourself up. Not a comedy club. Yeah. You're done.
So I'm done. So I go back. The agents are like, hey, you know. So now I go in between. I finally win them back. I do really well. Not one agent sees me kill in between. Because I kind of set it up where, like Johnny was saying, where once I come, I'm back on, I have, like, callbacks and I have everything. And audience kind of interaction where it's all set up. But by then, it's too late. Yeah. They all left. Agents, some of those guys never worked with me again.
Yeah, it's brutal. Like, one of my favorite things for the NACAs when I would do them were the samplers, showcases.
Mm-hmm.
Could book a ton of colleges, and you only do like 7 or 10. You just like murder it.
They know.
Boom.
They get it. We like this guy. Let's
go. It was great.
I always thought the NACA sets were too long for comics. These kids know within 7 to 10 minutes. You know, like, man, we like this guy. Let's get him on.
20 minutes.
Give me your best 7 to 10. Let's go.
I used to do my first time doing a NACA. I did it's called for people who know the performance samplers, where I did 5 minutes. You did 3 5-minute sets.
Well, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, where you're in a gym. And the funny thing is, you got the wall in between separating the two sides. So the first side was New York, and I kill. And I'm from New York, so I go through the wall, you know, the door in the wall to the other side with the Pennsylvania crowd, do the exact same act, nothing. But I booked, just that 5-minute set, I booked a ton of colleges. And
that's the other thing. Regions of the country is completely different.
Yeah, now
I've never done well in the South. I've booked some colleges, but I've never done well at the NACA because it's just but Midwest, you know, because I'm from Ohio or the East Coast. That's much more my speed.
Yeah. I never liked, and he's dealt with it too. I never liked the agent that couldn't get me colleges unless I did a showcase.
Yeah.
Like, because, I mean, I was
with... They should be able to get you a few throughout the year, through their contacts.
Yeah, I was with Neon Entertainment, and he'd get me, like, sometimes
a little 20. Short dude?
Yeah, Scott, yeah.
Yeah, Scott.
He'd get me, like, 20, 30 colleges back then. Like, I got, like, Josh Wade with them. I think I got Kate Shatara.
Josh is with my agency now, the college agency.
You know, I don't even know if he does. Does he still do stand-up?
I haven't seen
him. You know who he is? He's a big producer now.
Josh Wade?
He produces Duck Dynasty.
The clean cut kid.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Isn't that great?
What a small little world.
What a gig. What a gig.
No kidding.
Yeah. I'm with you. So anyways, it was so brutal to like go through that whole college thing, but I'm glad I did it.
Oh, me too.
And like, but like when I see like some of these kids out here, like you know, Dana Duke.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Dana,
he's a big college guy.
Yeah. Big college guy.
Yeah.
And like when I first saw him, he was hilarious. Like, and we were buddies in New York, and then he moves out here. He's like, "Oh man, dude, I'm hiding about." And then he's like, always gone doing colleges. And I was like, and you know, Tim is Iranian, and so is Dana Duke. Mm-hmm. And I was like, "What the fuck, Tim? If he's doing them, why can you not latch into the colleges like him? Like, what makes him so good at it?"
Well, he's got the niche. You know what I mean? And it's becoming increasingly a niche market, because I asked my agent, I go, "What? How come I didn't get a NACA this year?" This was about 2 years ago, because I'd been used to getting minimum two every
year.
Yeah. She goes, "You know how many white clean cut comics are applying for these?" And I go, "Yeah, you're right." It's the same reason I asked my agent why I'm not getting more commercial auditions.
Right.
She goes, "You're just in that category where there's a lot of people that look just like you."
And you know what it is? A lot of people don't know the colleges that nowadays it's all, you know, there's Black History. Everyone knows Black History Month, but then, you know, for my ex used to do speeches for eating disorder. So there's like eating disorder week or something like that, or you know, like there's the Latino, we have to get a Latino comp, we have to get the Asian comp, so there's like particular weeks or months, so they cater, they have their own group. So it's like when I was a college booker, there was also a tie-in. You would tie, look, we're the
Italian.
No, they don't give a shit about Italians.
That was a good
Italian.
If you had an Italian group, they'd say, "Look, we'd like to."
It's specific.
Yeah,
it's very specific. And
so all those minority groups would say, "Look," to the comedy producer or the booker would say, "Look, can you get one for us?" And then we'll split the costs. Mm-hmm. So that's how a lot of it is done.
No, it's true, man. It's tough just being a generic white person sometimes in the comedy world, because you're not, you know, they got the Asian comic they want to book, they want to, you know, this Iranian, like Dan, I think he's tapped into them. But that's not just what he uses. He's just funny comic.
Right.
He's got the right look. I've done a couple of showcases with him. He books out a lot.
No,
but I've seen a lot of really great comics have terrible NACA showcases, because it's just a different animal, man.
Yeah.
It's just a different animal. Sometimes sarcasm goes right up, they get offended by sarcasm. Mm-hmm. Or,
right, right.
You know, and you just got to know. You know, but then again, one of the greats was Tosh.
Yeah.
He was just a monster in the comedy.
He used to open for him sometimes. I want to wrap this up with a couple things.
Yeah.
It's a great thing about college, as much as I fucking hate them. We talked about them for half an hour.
I just did my first one in like 5 months last week, and it went great. So
No.
I'm back on a high for college.
No, yeah. You know, whatever. I know Tim had some of his best shows there. But anyways, where do you see yourself in like, you know, 5 years? You're in the business 15, 20 years at this point?
Yep.
So where do you see yourself in 5 years? Because now I think that you kind of, you're going through this divorce. I think that you kind of, as long as you've been in it, just like me, I think, I remember Big Pussy hates that name. Vinny Pastore had told me, you know, he said, he goes, "Jimmy, when you get in your late 30s is when you're going to act the most." He goes, "You're going to work all the time. You're never going to stop." And I was like, in my early 30s, I'm like, come on. You know, but I didn't know, right? So what you now are like, "Hey, I want to do voiceovers. I want to stay in town. I want to do this." So where do you see yourself? Where do you see yourself happy? Or if you die tomorrow, are you happy?
Yeah, completely. I mean, I've made my living as a comedian, knock on wood, for a decade. And when you first get into the business, that's all you want for. That's another thing that Dreesen told me. He goes, "You know, when you first start off, you just want to make a living as a comedian. Then you're not happy with that. Then you want this.
Right.
You're never happy." I go, I know. I just, traveling so much by yourself, because again, I'm not traveling with a group. I've done the college scene, so I'm here, I'm gone the next day. I really haven't done the club thing where I'm sitting there and vibing with the other comic for a week or something like that.
Like you got to a Laugh Factory, like I know that you
that was a blast. We all hung out
there, and Stringer, like Stringer's my boy. That's why I ended up going to the show, and then I got to meet Tim, and he's just such a great guy, and he hits me up, he's like, "Dude, we gotta hang." I mean, just
great guy. Both those guys.
We had talked a couple times on Facebook. And then, you know, I mean, he's so funny.
He's so funny. But again, we had a week to get to know each other and hang out. It was like a lot of fun. When you're doing colleges, you don't get that experience.
Yeah.
So I'm just out there by myself floating around for years. And I just go, you know, this is great, but I feel like I have a little bit more to offer. I love acting, writing, even directing, to tell you the truth. Voiceover is what I'm going to pursue, like for financial, because I really dig it. But while I'm doing that, I am getting more into acting, writing. I'd love to be making a living as a voiceover while I'm writing and producing my own shorts and moving into acting. Because I just had a great audition last week. It was for a small role, but my scene would have been with Emma Stone. I was reading
Well, that's great.
I mean, so it's, you know, I was nervous wreck and I went in there, but I prepared. I mean, I over-prepared. And when I went in there, I hit it. I was very relaxed because I was so prepared.
Sure.
I was prepared for success, and I had a great audition. She left laughing. We all left laughing, and I got to. So you establish a new contact with the casting director. I'm just starting. It's like I feel like a novice in that whole world, which is fun though. It's exciting. You know what I mean?
You know that's the thing. It's like in the past, I might have. I mean, most people like me, but of course, not everyone. My mom's always, not everyone's gonna like you. Not everyone. You know what I mean?
Well, if everybody likes you, you're doing something wrong.
But there's like, but in the acting world, everybody likes me. Every casting director, there's no one that like hates me. There's no one like, hey, I won't see Jimmy. And that, you know, I wish when I was younger in stand up, I would have lived that life. You know what I mean? As opposed to being a comic, and because you know when I first started, I mean, I worked as a pro within the first year. I was on the road. Headliner came in and saw me. I'm just as approachable now. As I was, so, like, I would do, like, a guest set, and he goes, hey, you want to go on a road with me for 6 weeks? We're like, sure. And he's like, hey, I got a limo. You want to drive my limo, and we can have threesomes and whatever, whatever. Okay. And that's what we did. It was like, I'm 19, 20 years old. That's what I'm doing. You know, so that was my life going down the road. So then when I got, you know, and then I ran through a million girls, and then I got married, and it was like I told my wife, I said, you know, I'm so excited for the next thing of like, I'm going to be doing all these theaters next year, and I'm so excited about that. So it's like I remember Chris Rock had said, I was in Down to Earth with Chris Rock, so we hung for 16 hours.
Okay.
You know, and he was telling me stuff. He goes, you will spend your first money like that.
That's what
like,
he did.
Like he got Saturday Night Live money, and he was like, boom. He's like, that. He's like, you get this other money. He goes, then you start going, oh, okay, there's more money. Okay, I can do something with this. So, like, I've been, because you don't really know my life. I was a huge gambler, high roller, dickhead. He's seen me. My wife was telling Stephen Briggs about it last night. Like, I would be at the Bellagio. Where were we? I'm checking into the Borgata, into my suite, and I'm in, there's a huge line to check in. And I go, now watch, Tim. I go, Tim, watch. I'm not going to stand that line. I'm going to go right to the high roller line, even though I'm not the high roller at the Borgata.
It's all about chutzpah.
And I walk up, and I go, yeah, I have my confirmation. I'd like to check in. I'm one of the comedians. Oh, thank you. You know, boom, boom. I mean, it's like, how am I going to wait in a line of 200 people checking at the Borgata? Because I don't know if you know, the Borgata's like the Bellagio.
Never been,
It's like the Bellagio of Atlantic City.
Okay.
It's fucking tremendous.
Heard about it, yeah.
Yeah. But that's... like, it's like going to a nightclub or something. It's like when sometimes people go, hey, what are you going to do when you're famous? And I'm like, well, I don't know if I'll ever be famous. I go, but I don't think I'm going to live my life any different. You know, I'm just going to live the way I do.
As you age, I think I've seen people that get famous or somewhat famous young, and then they change. And you look back and you go, if it would have happened to me when I was young, I might have changed too, because you don't know any better. Right. But as I wouldn't change a damn. If I got famous tomorrow, I wouldn't change a damn thing the way I live, because I'm comfortable with the way I live and who I am now. I wasn't so much back then. How could you be? You're 21, 22.
Yeah.
That's why I feel sorry for some of these athletes and stuff, or making dumb decisions.
Did you watch Ballers?
21.
You guys should watch Ballers.
I haven't watched it.
You should fucking watch it.
I've been watching
Ballers one, because I know you're into sports.
Yeah.
Buddy. This show Ballers will really show you about even like our business. They're getting the money, and then they got the guys, the entourages,
and all the people
that are trying to spend their money.
That's it,
and
man.
The family. You got to buy mama a house, got to buy uncle a house.
Yeah.
Like, what the?
What are they supposed to do? You know?
Well, here's a perfect example of the road. I don't know if you say you're a loner, so you've never brought your buddies. Did you ever bring your buddies on the road with you?
I have done more military gigs, I guess, than going on the road. I haven't done the clubs a lot where I could even bring somebody with me, to tell you the truth.
Sometimes I'll, like, bring a friend on the road. Like, he's married or something, and he just wants to get out of the house, you know what I mean? And
if I was in the position, I would definitely do that. Well, I have friends easily, I would do that.
Well, yeah. well, here's the thing, but, you know, and Tim knows, like, if you stay in my room is my sanctuary, you know what I mean? Like, I don't want them.
Yeah, you need a spot.
I don't want them, but like, I've had friends, like, bring girls, but you come back and there's two girls in the bed. He's got a. I'm like, this is my room.
Yeah.
I'll be bringing girls in my room.
Or at least say, hey,
these
dude.
Bitches could steal from me, dude. And I've got, you know, and I'm a gambler, so I could have like 2,000-3,000 sitting next to the Bible. That's where I hide my money. The Bible.
It's just disrespectful. Period.
Exactly.
Never mind explaining why. It's just like, don't do it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I brought you on the road.
Right.
Yeah. Know the rules of life, for God's
sake. Then sometimes they'll argue with me. And they'll go, well, this is my vacation. This is my getaway. You know what I mean? And I'm like, well, then be a comedian for 20 years and you can do this. Like,
this isn't mine.
Like, this, yeah, this is my job.
Yeah. Now you know why you're bringing them and they're not bringing
exactly. Like, Tim is famous for always getting in trouble. No, he's a
killer. You?
No, look, he's a killer comic. Yet... issues you just see the club just closed down, now they owe money.
I see. Trouble befells you is what you're saying.
I'm a magnet for.
Okay, I thought you meant. Well, I thought you meant this guy's going out getting in trouble.
No. He's always. It's always backfiring.
The black cloud just follows this guy.
Like, he just started driving Uber. Now they're thinking about canceling Uber. No, I'm joking.
$40 million company.
Like, I'll do. You know how the club goes. I see you work in the other club. You can't work ours no more if you do that. And I go, okay. You know, like, I'll just do it.
Yeah.
And then the club that I just did closes.
And now you're stuck on both of them.
The other one's like, too late. And I said,
So that's when you got to go find the Lord. You know, and sit down and have a nice conversation with the Lord. And say, what am I doing wrong?
Yeah.
Well, like, I'm one of the clubs I started at was Wise Guys in New York and Syracuse. And it went out of business. But anyway, so I play a theater there now. And you know what I mean, and you know, nice draw there. Tim comes and he'll feature for me or whatever it is. But Tim's a great headliner. Doesn't matter. The point is, was it 3 years ago, 4 years ago? They call him up. You can't do that gig.
Yeah, I'm working the Wise Guys the next month. So they go, if you do that theater with Jimmy, you're banned from our club. We're canceling.
He goes, I'm not headlining.
I go, there's 700 people that I can bring to your club. I'm just, you know.
Yeah. Well, plus it's a theater. It's not a competition.
Yeah, it's not a club.
Not a
it's a one night
comedy club.
And then I get into a fight with him. Boom, I'm
so he's
banned.
Done.
So now Jimmy does it again. I go back specifically just because I found out that club's closed. So I can know, oh, look, yeah, your club's closed.
I think Tim mentioned it on stage. Yeah, Wise Guys used to be a club. It's no longer here. Mm-hmm. Me and Jimmy were doing the theater.
Let's face it, man. A lot of club owners and runners are, what do you want to say? They're not the, they're some of the shiftiest people out there. So,
cool. So there's a couple things that I like to ask my people. Like, I want you to, anything you want to plug? Within the next couple weeks to a month, what do you want to plug that you're doing?
Well, I have my show in Beaumont this Saturday. Well, and then I have third Saturday of every month. If you know where Beaumont is, just look it up at johnnycardinelli.com.
Sand Trap.
Yeah. Sand Trap. I have to have you guys out there. Yeah, just that fun. Once a month show.
Yeah, no.
Just go to my website, johnnycardinelli.com. That's pretty much it. I keep my stuff pretty much up to date.
Is there a Twitter?
Yeah, oh yeah. Everything's Johnny Cardinelli. Instagram, Twitter, Vine, Periscope. I'm on them all, man. Facebook, if you're old school.
Periscope, still.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Oh, you're
right?
On Periscope?
Yeah.
No, I don't even know.
I'm
what
just
that
getting
is.
Started with it.
Yeah, I haven't fucked with it. It's like people, I keep getting these little links and people are like, hey, I'm on Periscope. Check it out.
I do a lot of Instagram, too.
It's like Ian Edwards with the, like, hey, I got a business card. He goes, everyone's got a business card. Nobody's got a business. It's like the guy used to give him the business card. He's like, yo, call me. You know, you could beat me. He's like, you're my roommate. It's tough to keep up with all these things, man.
It's tough to keep up with all the new sites that are the hot ones. You know, whether it's freaking Snapchat or that's when doing colleges. You ask them if they're on Facebook, they're like, what's that? They're so far.
I still have two MySpace accounts.
There you go.
You know, it's so hilarious. I just joined Instagram, got a ton of people, and then I just like. Deactivated it because it just keeps and it's still doing it. I'm gonna have to have Woody check it. It just keeps giving me notifications. I'm like, I deactivated it. How the fuck am I still getting notifications?
Instagram's a good one though. That one might stay for a while because people are very visual. So unlike Facebook, like, you can direct message somebody, but it's just, this is what's going on at this
moment. Little 15-second videos up there. Yeah. I like it. I enjoy it. I only follow, like, 60, 70 people, but it's I don't know. It's
Snapchat's the one that people that's really going to stay
the young
because of the,
one. That's the young,
young people. Anonymity?
Anonymity?
Yeah, anonymity.
I just haven't gotten into it. I haven't gotten into Snapchat. I wish it would go away so I wouldn't have to get into it, but at some point I'll have to figure it out, I guess.
Is there so that's what you want to plug. Is there anything like, so you're on the road, you're a loner, now you're divorced, you're trying out there to get some ass and stuff, and if there's no ass, you're in your room and you got your computer. So what I'm saying is,
yeah, where are you going with this?
We're talking about porn, right? So if you were a porn star, what would your name be?
Jeez, I haven't really thought about that.
The Cardinal.
Yeah.
The Cardinal.
Malibu Card.
Malibu Card. That's great. I really love asking people this because every once in a while, like, what did the girl give us the other day?
Oh,
I had this, like, hot Puerto Rican actress on, and it was so funny. Oh, fuck. 125th Street or something. It was like something, it was something like that. It was like literally like.
That's funny. Robert's Road.
Yeah. It was hilarious. Anyways, cool.
That's funny.
So you're Italian, so you got to give me what's your mafia name?
Oh, well, shoot. I don't know. I think my actual name probably is Johnny Louis Anthony Cardinale. Doesn't get more. That's three saints and a cardinal, right?
Yeah, that's
right?
Great.
God forbid.
Is that in the act?
Full House.
It is, actually.
Yeah, I was going to say.
You know, it's funny. I never did. And then here's the true story, though. I never really talked about my Italian heritage. One time, years ago, I was at my dad's house. And this is back when he had his home phone with the voicemail. So he plays it, and I hear this, "Hey, Ray. Hey, I'm just checking in, man. What's going on? And all right, you're not home. I'll call you back tomorrow." And I go, I thought somebody was playing a joke on my dad. I go, "Who is that?" Because my dad wasn't laughing. I go, "Who the hell is that?"
Oh, that's not your dad. That's his
no,
friend.
I'm somebody leaving him a voicemail. He goes, "That's Ralph Cifarotti, his best friend from growing up in Cleveland, Ohio." I go, "That how he really talks?" He goes, "Yeah." I go, "You're kidding me? I thought it was a joke." It was so over the top Italian.
Yeah,
and that's when I started realizing, I go, "Oh my God, my friends and my family and my grandfather and my uncle Anthony Del Zoppo, they're such a bunch of characters." That's when I started tapping into my Italian heritage, talking about my actual name. My dad told me my name is Johnny because my mom named me that.
Right.
Because she wanted it to sound like a little gangster name. This is all coming from a true place. Boy, I find when and here's the thing I'll say about colleges and anything. When you come from a very true place, college kids are with you. Because I thought, I'm older now. Should I talk about my marriage to college kids? I just did one last week. But I didn't start off with it. But once they liked me and I was with them, then I was able to talk about getting married. And I told them, "Hey, guys, I got married last June." And I was setting up some other jokes. I don't talk about being divorced right away. Right away, this girl in the back goes, "Where's your ring?"
Oh, yeah.
And I go, "Oh, yeah, don't worry. I'll get to it. And then when I told them that she cheated and I got divorced, the whole crowd was like,
Right.
They liked me. You know
exactly.
What I mean? So it's like you can get.
Well, you're likable. I mean, that's,
well, I mean, college kids though they're not idiots, but if you're really honest and who you are, they're with you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You don't have to write stuff just specifically. God, I need to write jokes about Snapchat or because I didn't. I just was talking very honest with them, and they liked that.
Yeah.
So yeah.
So here's something interesting that I have to ask. I ask everyone.
Yeah.
And of course, fucking, I don't know why Woody always chimes in on this, but it's very funny. So I have a man crush. My man crush is Brad Pitt.
Okay.
Right? I'm not gay. Tim's is Hillary Swank. Who's your man crush?
It was a young Robert De Niro.
Oh, yeah, Robert De Niro. His is Steve McQueen. Who was your man crush?
Dean Martin. Dean Martin's my favorite celebrity of all time. It's funny, I was just in Vegas when I saw you, and I met this guy. He came up to me, and, "Hey, blah, 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 saw your show." And he plays Ringo in a Beatles tribute band.
Oh.
And I love the Beatles. I'm a Beatles scholar. I go, "Dude, I want to come see you sometime. I want to come see you." He goes, "Yeah, sure." So he hands me his business card, and it's him as Dean Martin. He goes, "Yeah, I also play Dean Martin." Are we done?
No.
Oh, so he plays Ringo in a real show, and he also plays Dean Martin. And I go, "What an odd pairing." Those are my two favorite entertainment things of all time. Dean Martin's my favorite ever. So anyhow, I was just what a Vegas thing to do.
There's a friend of ours that's like that, Chris Montes. He like now he's dressing like a Rat Pack. You know, he's always got the drink and the hat.
Oh, I love it, man.
He idolizes those
well, my email's so Rat
Tammy,
Pack.
You know Tammy Pascatelli, right?
Of course, yeah.
So
married to Luca Palanca.
Yeah, right? Luca's my boy. I love Luca. Did you go see his movie?
No, which movie is it?
Well, no, it was years ago, but it was phenomenal.
Which?
Like, normally when someone comes up to you and your boys, like, if I call you, you probably wouldn't know, like, how strong of an actor I am. Like, I got my movie, Rivers and I, just came out. It's getting great reviews, right? Yeah. So now, Luca says, hey, I got this movie, made in Brooklyn. I wrote it, I directed it, I starred it.
Nice.
So we go to the premiere, and it's fucking phenomenal. It's so fucking good, you're like blown away by it, right?
What's the name?
It's called Made in Brooklyn.
Oh, okay.
You got to see it.
I'll definitely see it. It's tremendous. I remember Luca from way back Comedy Store days.
Yeah.
Yes, well,
you know, because, you know, Mitzi, she loved the Italians. You know, that was right. Yeah. That was her thing, right? Uh-huh. You know, she loved Luca.
He was like the quintessential. Hey, how you guys doing? Hey, Brooklyn, we go through. Hey. You
know? But he's a great guy.
Yeah,
you know, he's the nicest guy. They moved out there. So the reason I'm bringing it up is, so there's this manager named Rick Sirianni, right? Uh-huh. And or not Rick Sirianni. Oh my God, Rick Marcelli, famous manager. He developed Jenny Jones and all these great people. And he wanted to manage her. And he's telling me the story about her. But she said no. He goes, look, he goes, you're a fucking phenomenal comic. He goes, but if you let me develop you, you'll be selling out theaters across the world. Like, so what he had told her, he goes, look, he goes, with your Italian-ness, the way you speak, if you wore a dress and you put a glass of wine in your hand and just sat up there and told stories, women, it would just be the draw. Like, it would be insane. So, you know what I mean? Like, that's the thing. Like, the Dino, have you ever did that? Like, you go up there with a glass of wine and do your thing? Or,
you know,
it wouldn't work for you.
You know, it's something that, you know, it's somebody, one of the comics, in fact, I think your buddy John Stringer, when we were working in Vegas,
yeah,
he goes, have you ever just gone up there and just been the Italian guy the whole way through?
Yeah.
And I go, I haven't really, because... Once, if I went up there in that character, hey, how's everybody doing? Hey, what's going on? You two right there? You know, if I was that, I couldn't break from it.
Right.
I'd be, okay, I was just a character guy, so what do you guys really want?
Right.
I saw that just not something that I'm comfortable with, right. Although I do find myself liking being in that character. Because I'm around my dad and all my friends. I'm always, hey, what's going on over there? What do you do? Right?
Right.
And I like it, and my mind tends to work funnier sometimes when I'm in the character as me as the Italian. That's bizarre how it works, right?
Right. Well, that was the thing, like, doing the stupid
joke. So I haven't, but I can see where that would work, though. I've thought about
it. Well, my wife said, she looked at all three of you guys, and she knows comedy so well. I mean, she's sitting there, and she, and I don't know what it was. Like, as I'm up, so I'm watching John Stringer, and he's got this very sexually fucking motivated act. He's jumping around dancing and everything, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he was telling me, he's like, oh shit, does he have a girl now? I can't remember.
John?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't think he has a steady. He sees girls. He's got some friends, but
Okay, so good. So anyway, so he said he had a good time because he didn't come to my show that Friday night because of...
He had
good
girls
things Friday night, right? So that's what he told me, right? So my wife said, she goes, oh, I can see that. She said, but she looked at you and she goes, he's got it. And that's what she said about you.
Oh, really?
Yeah. She goes, he's got the looks. He's got the presence. She goes, but she just said something like you were missing a little something that you just haven't discovered yet.
Hmm.
And that's why you're not the star yet.
You know, that
I think you can be. Because I see it too.
I don't want to sound like I'm talking about myself, but I've heard that from several different people.
Yeah.
They're just like, dude, you, even my father.
Yeah.
My father for years would be like, I get off stage, he'd be like, because my dad's pretty honest with me.
Sure.
He doesn't like sugarcoat, but he also doesn't want to say things. Just like, he would tell me, he goes, you need to quit trying to be clever and be funny. He goes, you're trying so hard to be clever, just be funny, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And so that was his way of saying, just basically, I think, have more fun on stage. But then there came a point where, now keep in mind, you guys also all saw me emceeing, which I don't really like to do so much.
No, I know.
Breaking up my act, and you know, it's hard to get on a roll. But there was a time when my dad goes, you got it. He goes, you got it now. He goes, if you keep working at it, he goes, you'll get it. He goes, I'm not saying that just because you're father.
Yeah.
He goes, but you have it now. I see it on stage.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And I've seen it before, I think years ago, like O'Brien's or something. You know what I mean?
I used to run O'Brien's.
And, yeah, no, I know. I remember you asked me.
That's a terrible sits down there.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you know, and that's the L.A. thing. It's like I can headline here at the Hollywood Improv and do good, very good. I go to the Irvine Improv, murder it. You know what I mean? It's like the Hollywood, it's like so jaded.
Different vibe, dude.
It's like they don't even get, you know what I mean? It's like you, they judge you right away when you come on the stage. It's a whole like, oh, that's not Damon Wayans. That's not, you're like, that's not D'Elia. You know what I mean? Whatever it is.
It's the Hollywood vibe, man. Yeah. There's the top 10 that work all the clubs. It's funny, but not to, I know we got to end soon. Going through this divorce, somebody close to me who's seen me a lot, She goes, that divorce, you don't talk about a lot, but she goes, that changes you on stage. She goes, that opened you up for the first time ever on stage. Before that, you always looked like you had everything under control. It's almost like surfacey. He goes, that all of a sudden, now that humanizes you.
I feel like honest. It's making you honest.
Yeah, she goes, like finding that it thing, that thing I'm missing, I feel like I'm on my way.
Right.
Because I can feel it. I hate to say it, but ever since those 5 years I was with her, not saying it was terrible, we had fun, but my career was kind of sputtering. I was spending a lot of time with her. She wasn't super supportive of comedy, and I don't know. I feel like now that I'm single again, I'm really getting back and jazzed about talking about it and being honest.
Ruined his career, being married.
Oh.
Ruined his career.
I've seen several people, man.
I mean, when I'm telling you, when you see him, the character on King of Queens was based on him.
Sure.
Patton Oswalt's.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, he's been around a long time.
I've seen it happen to several, man.
But anyways. There's one thing we got left. What is your favorite swear word?
I'm gonna tell you this short story. For a long time there, I never swore on stage, and it became a thing where it was nice. A lot of people come up to me. It's tough to not swear on stage. And recently, I go, you know, I'm fucking tired of not swearing on stage. There's a few bits that just need it, and so I've dropped a few F bombs on stage, and I'll be damned. Fucking feels good. So that's my favorite swear word.
So fuck. Excellent. Yeah. Excellent. So use it towards your ex.
I'm going to use it tonight. I don't use it. I don't want to sound like Mr. Angry Guy, but fucking.
Yeah. You always flex when you say it.
I do. Here's a tip. Here's something. Here's Here's something real funny. A manager told me once. I met up with a manager and he goes, have you ever gotten a laugh on stage and you don't know why? And I go, yes, I do. And it was this bit. I used to do a bit about having a Honda Civic, which I did, a cheap Honda Civic. Mm-hmm. And I go, yeah, guys. I go to the audience. Go, yeah, I got a Honda Civic. And one night I was at the Ice House. I go, I got a Honda Civic. I go, it's a DX model, ladies. I just kind of flex while I said DX model. It came out of nowhere. I don't know why I did it. The whole crowd started laughing. And I go, yeah, this one time I went like this DX model. And he goes, and this manager, I don't know if it's completely true or not. He goes, that's your character. That's your character on stage.
Yeah.
He goes, fun. You need to find whatever it is, because that's who you are.
Is the manager still in the business?
I think he is. He was an older guy at the time. He'd been one of those guys who had dealt with a lot of comics, predated me.
Okay.
I think he was sort of like easing out of the business. Okay. But it was still an interesting thing to say to me. And I never forgot it.
He tried to get his clients by going, I'm a great manager.
I said them all.
I'm back in again.
But I remembered it was me being who I am off stage for that 2 seconds, and it made everybody laugh.
So
I guess
so your wife, you're going through a divorce. I want you to you caught her as your Sicilian alter ego that your fans don't know, and you come home and you throw the F word at her as many times as you want, and then we're out of here.
Yeah,
let me hear it.
Oh, no, wait, should I? You mean you want me to?
Yeah.
Oh, you fucking hoish. No, that's not me. I'm pretty careful. I don't like things to come back to me when it came to her. I didn't badmouth to her. There was moments I got angry, but it was a channeled anger.
Right.
Like, I can't believe you of all people did this. I wanted to make her feel bad.
Good.
You know what I mean?
Well, look, if she's listening, not that she's gonna, she's a fucking whore. She disrespected my buddy Johnny Cardinale. Yeah. Woody, say goodbye.
Adios.
Tim.
Goodbye.
Paisan, peace
out. Johnny Cardinale.
Pleasure.
Love you, buddy.
Hands.
Great
love you,
stuff.
Dude. Thanks for having me.
Brooklyn Buddha.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Wait a minute. You ain't heard nothing yet.
Houston, we have a problem.
Stop, children, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on.